I remember it very distinctly because what happened was for the last January and February, I'd been in a small church in Georgia in a town called Tallapoosa. I just like going there because I like saying Tallapoosa. I mean, that was a big part of it. But I was a part of being an interim pastor there, and I've been going back and forth from Atlanta to speak at this little church and just help them out while they're in the process of looking for a pastor. And in that process, on March 10th, they had a candidate who they were bringing in to speak. So it was my first Sunday off. And I was so excited because I was going to get to go to my church for the first time. But then someone decided to change the party for me. That happened to be the day that Winnie decided to join us in the world. And so 6 years ago today, our daughter Winnie was born. And so we're excited. She's a part of our family and excited for that memory. And the kids kind of looks like they weren't ready for me, or they weren't waiting for me to release them. So they have been released to Children's Church. So if you notice that, I was trying to get them to see the story, and they left without getting to wish Wendy a happy birthday. But that's okay. The rest of us, we are going to continue a series that we've been in for quite a while now, looking at the question, why Jesus? We've been asking this question over the last 9, 10 weeks, because we've been trying to figure out what it is about Jesus that sets him apart, what it is about who he is and what he did in humanity that we still worship him 2,000 years ago, that we even put him in the category of God. And so we've been looking at that, and we've been looking at different aspects of who God is. And today, I want to take a look at a message I'm calling the Disciple Dispatch, because I think that's another avenue of what Jesus was, who he was. He was a disciple dispatch. A dispatch is a place where you send out information or you send out people. And so a dispatcher would be somebody who, makes sure that the right people get to the right place. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I wonder if I'm doing the right things or that I'm living up to my potential. And as someone who's been in the professional ministry for the last 20 years or so, I sometimes wonder that same thing about the church. Is the church doing what it's supposed to be doing? Are we living up to the potential that we have been called to? And so I guess I've been fortunate enough that I have walked through a couple of different seasons where I saw the church really being the church, really stepping out and doing what the church is supposed to do. One of those occasions was back during Hurricane Katrina. You see, when I was in Montana at that time, I was leading a school of ministry called Master's Commission. And at the time, Master's Commission was all over the country in different churches, and it had a pretty strong network. And when Katrina hit, basically the leadership of Master's Commission that kind of oversaw the whole school system throughout the country said, "We are shutting down our school, and we are moving our base of operation to Louisiana to help people." And they said, and they just put out a call, "Any Master's Commission that can get here, we will make sure you're fed, we will make sure you're housed, and we will make sure that you have something to do down here." And so we just decided we're going to do it. And so we canceled classes for about 2 weeks. We got a small bus, and we packed 12 of us in it and drove from Missoula, Montana, all the way down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And it was amazing. When we first got there, we were able to be a part of this relief center in Baton Rouge where, I mean, there were thousands of people living in that center. And we were helping to feed them. And kind of the cool part was different groups had different colored shirts. It was kind of interesting. And the the Red Cross people had different names for all of us. And so, like, there was one group, and I forget which group they were, but they had these brown shirts, and so they called them the Brownies. And then there was this other group, and they were the Christian Scientists, and I think they were wearing green, and the Red Cross people just called them weird. I didn't. The Red Cross people just called them weird. And then those of us who were helping with Master's Commission, we were actually a part of a bigger group called the Pastors Resource Council. And so all of us got these really beautiful orange t-shirts. And so they called us the pumpkins. And but the interesting thing to me was that while we were there, the Red Cross people knew. If you needed something to get done, no matter how dirty it was, you could turn to a pumpkin and they'll get it done. I mean, I had several of the Red Cross people say that. We can't believe how hard you guys work. We can't believe how, you know, self-sacrificing you are. It was pretty amazing. And a week before we had gotten there, President Clinton was actually touring that facility. And so, like, I was a little upset that I missed that. Although, there was a really cool story I got to hear because of it. You see, there was two kitchens in that place, and a lot of the pumpkins were going back and forth between the two kitchens. And the guy who was coordinating for the Master's Commission gave instructions, please give me an autograph of President Clinton. I want an autograph. I just think that would be really cool to have. You know, I've never been a part of a project that a standing president has come and investigated and or to be a part of, and so he wanted that signature. Well, the problem came in that one of the Master's Commission guys wearing his orange shirt had to run from one kitchen to the next, and he was because they forgot to bring the utensils, the serving utensils. And so he ran to the one kitchen, grabbed a bunch of knives and spatulas and other stuff, and he came booking out of that kitchen, running towards the second kitchen. Unfortunately, at the exact same time that President Clinton was walking through the halls, Secret Service saw some crazed person running towards the president with knives and spatulas and knocked him to the floor and put cuffs on him. And so we had the great fortune of telling this guy that we're sorry, we did not get the signature from President Clinton. We didn't feel like that was a good thing to ask after that. And so our leader said, well, give me his autograph, because I don't think I have ever met a Master's Commission student who was ever knocked out by the Secret Service. And but it was a beautiful thing to watch as all of these people from all over the country, both the Master's Commission, Red Cross, and all these different people came together, and so many of them were coming together because of the cause of Christ. At one point, we got moved away from that resource center, and we were in a small town in Louisiana helping out with some cleanup stuff. And you know, just we were out with our orange shirts and we were distributing like mops and disinfectant and different things to help people. And people saw the orange shirt people out handing out goods. And all of a sudden, we had a line of cars over a mile long waiting to get into the parking lot of the church where we actually shut down a highway on accident. The highway patrol came and said, what are you guys doing? You realize that you just shut down? Well, we're just trying to give people some mops, you know. But it was amazing because people recognized that if those people in the orange shirts are out, something good's going to come out of it. You know, and I think that's the way that the church should operate. And I think that's the way that Jesus designed it to operate. And so today, as we are looking at this idea of Jesus being this disciple dispatch, I want us to maybe get a little bit more of a hunger to see God do that again in our lives, in our church, in our community. Not that we necessarily want disaster, but we do want to step up to what we're called to. And so with that said, I'm going to turn us to Luke chapter 10, and look at verses 1 through 9, where Jesus is sending out the 72 disciples. So if you wouldn't mind standing with me for the reading of God's word. Again, we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 9, and I'll be reading today out of the New Living Translation. And this is how it reads. Now the Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs into all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Wherever you enter someone's house, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you now. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you not only came to be among us, you came to give us life. And not just life that we could spend serving ourselves, but life spent serving others. And that the great fulfillment, the great joy that comes as we see your light shining through us as we serve others is something beyond compare. And I pray that we would continue to see your goodness on display in our lives and in the life of this church as we willingly listen for the call of God on us. And we willingly step out and do the things that you have called us to do. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for all that you do. So we pray these things in your wonderful name. Amen and amen. Why don't you turn to one or two people, just shake their hand and tell them, get ready to get your hands dirty. So, as we're looking at this, one of the things that I want you to see is that Jesus was very intentional about this group. This was actually not the first time that Jesus sent out the disciples. In chapter 9, he sent out the 12 first and gave them pretty much the same instructions to go and to do these things. And what I see in that instruction and in the one that we just read is that there were some very clear things that the disciples needed from Jesus in order to fulfill the call of God on their life. So I want to help us to see that, and hopefully we too can see what God has called us to do and use these same principles to move our life forward. And so the first thing that I see that they needed from Jesus was that they needed assignment. In order to do the call of God, they needed to know what the call of God was. They needed to know that Jesus had chosen them for a task. And so we see there in verses 1 and 2 that's what Jesus did. It says in verse 1, the Lord chose 72 disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. He had a plan. He said, I'm going to go to these different towns. You guys go ahead of me. And you guys began to proclaim to them the goodness of God. You guys began to go and do the things that I'm going to do, but you're going to do them ahead of me. And so they had this assignment, and I mean, that's going to be a little bit intimidating, right? I mean, you are the warm-up act for Jesus. I mean, I've had to be the warm-up act for different people, but I mean, to have to get up and know that, okay, I'm getting people prepared for when Jesus gets here. I mean, that's pretty amazing. But the truth is, isn't that what all of us are called to do? As Christians, aren't we expected to be the first introduction to the kingdom that people around us will get? I mean, some people may never draw close to Jesus if we don't do our part in drawing close to them. If we don't step out and realize there's an assignment on us to take this message to people who need to hear it. I mean, it's interesting. In verse 2, he says this. He says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. The funny part about that statement was Jesus didn't say, the harvest is great, pray for the harvest. The harvest is great, let's pray and make sure they get their hearts right. He said, the harvest is great, pray for more harvesters. Pray for more people who'd be willing to be sent out. And that's us. I don't know if you realize, but if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are the recipient, you are the answer to a 2,000-year-old prayer. You're the answer to a prayer that Peter and Matthew and John and James prayed 2,000 years ago, that more people would be raised up to take the gospel to more people. It's kind of sobering to me to think about that this is what we're called to. And then because of this, that means all of us need to be about the business of figuring out what our assignment is. That's why I spent all of February, well, except for the one that we got snowed in on, and I bumped it up to last week, but I spent February talking about Love Does, trying to help you to understand that all of us need to realize there's an assignment that we need to fulfill. All of us need to realize that there is something that God has called us to. And I believe with all of my heart that if, as a church, we can give people a group to belong to and a job to do, we are helping them to do the things and to be a part of the family of God in a real way. But I also have to admit to you, I'm not the best at this sometimes. I'm a recovering micromanager. I don't know if there's a support group for that, but hi, my name is Gerald. I am a recovering micromanager. I mean, it's just, if I can get it done better, I'll probably do it. Or if I don't want to inconvenience somebody else, I'll probably do it. And I have to confess to you this morning that this happened just last night. I saw the snow coming. I know I made the decision that we were going to have church. And my first thought was, uh-oh, what's going on in the sanctuary? If you don't know about our water stuff, we've had some water stuff. And then what's going to happen? Not up there, don't worry. No, there's nothing coming from up there. But and then what about our front walkway? I mean, we've got to make sure that's clean if people are going to come. And I mean, somebody even commented this morning that we had the cleanest sidewalk in the entire block. So that was me and somebody else. I don't know. I got here and somebody. Well, there you go. Well, see, there is some dispatching going on. God is doing some cool stuff too. So it wasn't just me. But I got out here, and so at midnight, I was out here shoveling, and I kind of thought I'd be out here by myself, but there were, I'd guess, at least 50 to 100 people walked in front of our doors as I was out shoveling, because, you know, churches will shut down, but the bars aren't going to. And so, I mean, there was just, and honestly, it was a little bit, probably the most gratifying time I've ever had shoveling, because so many people were stopping and saying, thank you so much. Thank you so much for shoveling. I had at least 5 people tell me they loved me. So, I mean, that was just, that was awesome. But I also realized, you know, that's part of me being a micromanager. Like, okay, it's got to get done, so I'm going to do it. Here's the thing. All of us have a part to play in this. All of us have a part to play, and it might be shoveling. It might be helping in the nursery. It might be going across the street and talking to your neighbor. It might be taking a chance in speaking to the person in the other cubicle or on the next desk over. We don't know always exactly what God has called us to, but we can't escape the fact that all of us have an assignment. All of us have a call of God on our lives. And we need to be listening to that. And a good way to flesh that out and to figure out what that's about is to get involved in things in the church and see if, am I good in the nursery? No, probably not. Okay, well then, you know, can I move a shovel? Yeah, I can do that. And I actually kind of enjoyed that. Or can I help out in the youth group? Or can I help out with hospitality? Can I smile and wave? Yeah, I got that one down. You know, and so, I mean, we try out different things and we start to realize we have a unique shape. And that's part of what the church is about, is helping us to find out our shape and find out how God has gifted us so that we can fulfill the assignment he has unique to each one of us. The other thing that I see that the disciples needed in order to do the call of God on that God had called them to was they needed authority. If you're going to go out and do something for somebody, you better make sure that you're given the authority to do it. I mean, when we were passing out those mops, I got really scared when the highway patrol guys were coming in with their lights flashing, basically telling us we had kind of overstepped our authority, or that we should have maybe talked to them first before we start shutting down highways. But that was us kind of taking a little bit of liberty. But the awesome part about the gospel is that Jesus has given us the authority. In Luke chapter 10, verse 9, the last thing that we read is, Jesus said, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. He's basically saying, I'm giving you authority to do this. Go out and heal people. Go out and tell people that the kingdom of God is near. And I think this is something that we are still called to. I keep sharing the story that Sheila had mentioned during our Bible study. By the way, we have a really great Bible study on Wednesday nights if you want to talk about a little bit more about how to put Luke into action, which is what kind of the whole goal of this series is, that we not just see what Jesus did, but that we do what he called us to do. And so in that Bible study, Sheila shared a story about this 10, 12-year-old boy who got saved. And in the church, they very accurately discipled this boy and said, make sure you read the stories about Jesus and see what he's doing and listen to his words. And so he went home and he got his Bible and he started reading the stories about Jesus and all that he did. And one Sunday he got to church and he was bounding into church. He was excited. He had his Bible with him and he walks up to his pastor and he says, Pastor, when do we get to do the stuff? And the pastor was like, what? You know, when do we get to do the stuff? What stuff? You know, I was reading in the Bible and you told me to look at the stories about Jesus and I saw all the miracles he was doing and I saw that he told his disciples that people who follow him, they're supposed to do this too. So when do we get to do it? And sadly, the pastor looked down at the little boy and said, I'm sorry, we don't do the stuff anymore. In case you're wondering, yes, we do. This call to go out and to heal the sick, this call to go out and proclaim that the kingdom of God is near, has not been revoked. The authority that Christ gave to his church has not been taken back. He still expects us to go out and do this. He still expects us to go and heal the sick. He still expects us to go and proclaim the kingdom of God is near. He still expects us to go to disaster areas and bring people mops and bring people a warm bed and something to eat. He still expects the church, not the government, not relief agency. He still expects the church to operate under the authority he gave us 2,000 years ago. It's sad that governments have to step up because the church does not. It's time that we start taking the authority that we've been given and living in it. You know, so many times we as a church, or we as individuals, I mean, as a Pentecostal church, I don't know how many times I've heard people pray for power, praying that God would give us power, that, you know, but here's the truth. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. How much more power do we need? We don't need more power. We need to walk in the authority that we've been given to use the power. We need to start stepping out and saying, it's my responsibility to take this power that I've been given and change the world around me. That's what we are supposed to do. That's how we are supposed to take this gospel and change. That's why we needed the authority, and that's why we need to realize we still have it. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples. Go and tell them what I have done. Teach them all the things that I have taught them, or I've taught you." This is what we're called to. This is what we need to get back to. And maybe the reason we don't do it the way that we're supposed to is because we forget sometimes that not only did they need assignment, not only did they need authority, from time to time, they needed alignment. I don't know if you've ever had a car that was out of alignment, but it can be scary, especially in conditions like this. I had an old Mazda that, as I was going down the road, I could take my hand off and I'd turn left. I would turn right without even trying. So, I mean, like, I had to keep a hand on the wheel because the alignment was so bad. And I was a teenager and not smart enough to realize, oh, I could probably take that to the shop and get that fixed. Or maybe I just didn't have the money to. I don't remember. But, I mean, it was... But when you get in a car that just has perfect alignment, it's an amazing thing. When you're properly aligned, really it just takes a tap on the steering wheel, one direction or another, to make sure you're going in the right way. You're not fighting everything. And see, sometimes we need alignment too. Sometimes we need to realize that maybe our lives, maybe our church, maybe Christianity in America might be a little bit out of alignment. So what are we going to do to make sure that we are coming in the proper alignment? I mean, in chapter 9, Jesus tells this story, Luke tells this story about how the disciples came up to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, there was this guy and he was going around and he was casting out demons in your name. So we told him to stop." And Jesus was like, "Wait a minute, these guys were going out in my authority and they were doing good things and you told them to stop? Just because they weren't a part of our camp? I mean, what?" Jesus was basically saying, if they're healing people, if they're bringing about life change in my name, let them do it. It's not about our camp versus their camp. Anybody who's doing the will of God is doing our kind of stuff. And so, you know, they got misalignment there. And then when they came back, Jesus sent out the 72, and they came back, and they had all these stories. And they were talking about just how amazing it was that when they prayed for people, people actually got well. And when they did different things, they actually happened the way that Jesus said that they would happen. But Jesus kind of tempers their excitement a little bit in verse 20. He says, Don't rejoice because the evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. In other words, what I'm hearing here is he's saying, don't get as excited that I'm working. Be more excited that you're a part of the kingdom of God. I mean, I don't think he was saying don't get excited. I don't think we should go and, you know, pray for somebody and have them get healed and go, oh, I knew that was going to happen. You know, and just kind of, I mean, we should get a little bit excited when we see God working. But I think they were getting maybe a little bit too big for their britches. I don't know. You kind of have to read that into that. But I think he was having to bring a little bit of alignment saying, guys, this is normal because you are a part of the kingdom. And so he was helping them to get their lives back into alignment. Isn't another interesting verse here in chapter 10, verse 24. It says, I tell you, many prophets and kings longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. To help us kind of come into alignment, I need us to see that the assignment that we have, that the authority that we've been given, people have been longing for this for thousands of years. Before Jesus came, there were thousands of years of devout men and women who were praying to see a move of God. They were praying to see the Messiah in all of his glory. And for the last 2,000 years, the church has been walking in it. And I think sometimes we forget just how amazing that is. I think sometimes we forget that the things that we have been handed have the power to change people's lives. The things that we have been handed have the power to change the course of countries, to change the course of families. It has the power to change things for eternity. And sometimes we're okay with just letting it change the course of our Sunday morning. I want us to get back to the place where we recognize we've been handed something incredibly special. And we have a responsibility to use it. You know, I think one of the reasons why we get out of alignment on this is because we're not in a desperate situation. I mean, I think back to the situation with Katrina, and I marveled that I got to be a part of something so beautiful, to see so many churches from so many denominations coming together and helping thousands of people who needed help. And we did it because there was a very visible, tangible need in front of us. But that tangible need goes away, and we kind of go back to our old lives. I think what we forget sometimes is that we're at war. I know it doesn't feel like it. We don't necessarily hear bombs going off out in the streets. We don't wake up to reports of machine gun fire in Menominee. But we are in a very real spiritual war. And what's at stake is people's eternal destinies. What's at stake is whether people have an opportunity to respond to the love of God, or whether they have to spend an eternity separated from Him. And the thing is, God has a plan. And that plan is us. God has a plan for making sure Menominee can't say they were never told. And that plan is us. If we don't take this seriously, who's going to do it? There is a war that's being waged, and we need to realize it is our responsibility to step in. We need to realize that we have an assignment, that Jesus is dispatching assignments right now. If we will simply open our hearts and open our lives to it, we need to realize that he's given us the authority to effect real change, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people we rub shoulders with every day. Hopefully the only thing we're missing is that we're just maybe a little bit out of alignment, thinking that, well, somebody else will do it, or maybe I'll do it tomorrow, or maybe when I know more about the Bible, I'll step out into the call of God. I think we simply need to realize we're at war. That means it's all hands on deck. That means all of us need to realize there is something for us to do. And even if you can't do it as well, I mean, think about it. Jesus was sending out people who couldn't do anything as well as he could. I don't know if there's anybody in this room you can do anything as well as Jesus. Okay, no hands, good. We'd have to have a different conversation after church. But the truth is, he was giving this charge to broken, frail, fallen people, knowing they would never be able to do it as well as he could do it. But he entrusted them with this mission. And when he left, he put it in the hands, really, of 12 men. Well, 11 technically. And said, make sure this thing moves forward. Make sure you go to all the nations. You know, if Jesus could trust the disciples with this, I probably should be able to trust somebody with shoveling, right? More so than that, all of us need to figure out, what has God called us to? And start doing it. Whether or not we feel we're qualified, whether or not we feel like we know how, get around side some other people who can maybe help sharpen you. But let's all step into this believing God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for our church. And that if we will simply listen to the assignment and step into the authority we've already been given, we might not just realign ourselves, we might realign the world around us too. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we do thank you. We do thank you that not only did you come into this world to show us what God was like, you also came into this world to show us what we could be like. You also came to help us to see that we fit into the grand plan of salvation for the world. I pray that today, as we have looked at the way you sent out these different disciples, in the way that you have still called people to live out a destiny to reach more people, to be a part of this great harvest, I pray that we would become awakened to the very real war that's around each and every one of us. That we would become awakened to the truth that there is a war right outside the doors of this church, and it's claiming people's lives every day. And whether people have an opportunity to respond to your love may be dependent on whether we are willing to go out and extend it. So God, if we've turned off the dispatch notice in our own heart, if we have grown cold to the call that for 2,000 years people have been saying, more people need to be sent, more people need to step out, and we let it hum in the back of our mind as chatter. I pray that our lives would realign itself in such a way that we realize we have a part to play. We have a responsibility to fill. It may not be as grand and as noble as some other people's calling, but even humble callings can have a ripple effect that can change a nation. God, I pray that we would be so in tune to what your Spirit is doing that we will readily hear your assignments and willingly step out in your authority. And God, in those moments that we feel inadequate, in those moments where we feel afraid, let that be the time where you remind us that you are enough, even when we are not. That it's your power in us, not our wise or persuasive words, that will draw people to you. God, I pray that you would make yourself so real in this moment that there wouldn't be a single one of us that could say we have missed the call of God, but that all of us would realize we have a part to play and that we would seek the assignment, that we would seek to understand your authority, that we would willingly allow ourselves to be realigned so that our lives will bring glory and honor to yours. I don't want to pray this morning. I don't want to share about Jesus without giving somebody an opportunity to respond. So you might be here in this room or you might be watching online, and I want to give an invitation. So with no one looking around, with eyes closed, head bowed, I want to give an invitation that if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord, or you maybe have in the past and you've walked away from it, that this would be a great day to realign your life to the priorities of God. That Jesus died for you, and that he rose from the grave to give you a purpose in life. And today we could unlock that for you if you'll simply put your faith and your trust in who he is and what he has done. So again, with nobody looking around, with people just being in an attitude of prayer, if that's you, I would invite you just to pray a simple prayer. You can pray it out loud. You can pray it in your heart. But pray it in a way that connects you with what you feel God's calling and doing in your life at this moment. And I would ask you just to pray something simple, like that you take a moment right now and just say thank you to God. Thank him for sending Jesus. Thank him for allowing Jesus to die in your place. Tell him in this moment that you believe that God raised Christ from the dead. And make a decision right now that you want to follow him all the days of your life. If you prayed a prayer like that, I just want to encourage you to let somebody know. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised Christ from the dead. And if we confess Jesus as Lord, we will be saved. And so if that happened here in this room, let somebody around here know. If you're listening online, send us an email or a Facebook message letting us know. We want to make sure that you get connected. Or just find someone you trust and let them know so that they can help give you the resources you need to continue this relationship with Christ. And for all of us, I just want to say thank you, especially those of you who braved the elements to be out here with us and were, again, smart enough to set your clocks ahead to be here on time. Let's leave here with an anticipation that God has something for each one of us. It might even be today. It might be that person that you're going to have serve you at the restaurant. It might be an opportunity to go shovel out a neighbor. I don't know what it's going to look like for you, but I would ask you to seriously go and spend some time in prayer today, maybe before you leave this room, and just to ask God, how can I be used by you today or this week? I mean, if every day we just have that ability to say, I want to be a part of this dispatch. I want to make sure I'm tuned in so I can hear every time Jesus wants me to step out. And we make that a dedication every day. How much different could the world be around us if we're simply looking for assignments and willing to step out in the authority we've been given? So with that said, I want to pray a blessing over us as we leave. As we normally do, I want to leave this place in here as a place of prayer. So if you need prayer, or if you just want to spend some time in prayer, just hang out in here. Because we're a smaller group, I'm just going to stay up here and pray. So if you need prayer for anything, I'd love to pray with you before you leave. But if you're not going to be in prayer, I do ask that you just quietly and respectfully step out to the lobby. We got some treats out there. And I think Jenny made enough treats for 60 or 80 people, so you guys better eat two or three. So there's plenty out there, but for those of us in here, again, let's just let this be a place of prayer in this moment. Let me bless you, and then I'm just going to step quietly out here to the front, and if you need prayer for anything, I'd love to pray with you. So let me bless us. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your Son. Not only that he could be sent, but also that we could be sent as well. Jesus, thank you for redeeming our lives, redeeming our hearts. And I pray that as we leave here, we would realize we are leaving on assignment with a call to change the world. And we can only do that, Jesus, if you go with us. So Jesus, right now I pray that you would bless us and that you would keep us. Jesus, I pray that you would smile upon us and be gracious toward us. And Jesus, I pray that we would walk in your favor and in your peace, believing all of these things in your mighty name. Amen and amen.